greatest joy and pleasure is to welcome back the new students, the old students, the familiar faces, faces that I hate all those boring beginnings of speeches. But I am happy to see everybody. Oh, Moshe, it's the first time I saw you. Oh, Moshe. I really am happy. I'm not faking it. I rarely fake it. In any event, Elul, we know that Elul, the Sfarim teaches that Elul is a big time, because Elul is 40 days until Yom Kippur, and there's 40 suhs in a mikvah. So every day is another day of purification until we get to Yom Kippur, and we all know how many lugs are there in a mikvah, Tzvi Moshe. 960. There are 960 lugs, which is an amount in a mikvah, and how many hours are there from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur? 960, so every hour is another lug. Every time is a little bit more purity. So what the yeshiva is trying to do is supposed to make you pure. That's really, this is the last bastion of purity on earth. The last, I don't know if this statistic is true. I don't know if it's true. But I heard the following statistic. What percentage of students in high school watch pornography? The statistic that I heard was 100%. You can't get much higher than that. You know, when I was in high school, I actually set the all-time free throw shooting record. Because I shot 100% from the line. I went there twice, two foul shots in my high school career, and somebody said, oh, you're not a player, you didn't get much playing time. The truth is, I didn't get much playing time in high school because I dropped out very quickly. But in the time that I was there, I was two for two. So if there are only two students, then it. But even if somebody wouldn't tell me that statistic, let's say somebody wouldn't tell me that statistic, somebody would say to me, no, it's not 100%, it's only 40%. But what about the other 60%? Do they watch movies? So movies is also pornography. What's the difference? When I was a kid, I don't know, maybe it's different today. I'm sure there's a lot more tzniyas today because of Tzvi Meyer and all the tzaddikim talking so much about tzniyas. But when I was a kid, there was seen a movie, an X-rated, R-rated, and X-rated was about 1/4 inch of the female's body. Everything else is more or less the same. So that for me is also pornography, and what's on television is also pornography, and what's in the New York Post is filled with pornography. So even if you don't say hardcore, which I don't believe the statistic, by the way, I don't believe it's 100%. That it's hardcore. First of all, there's some kids who are blind, right? So that already, it can't be. It's 99.996, right? But it can't be 100%. And some kids, you know, they don't have, there must be people who can't afford it, people who can't afford it, that's not right. But it's, even if, I don't believe it's 100%. I really don't believe. But even if it's not, so that just makes you impure. It makes you impure. And the language, the way people speak, and the way people eat, and the way people live, it's not a pure, we're not living, unfortunately, based on Torah percentage. You understand me a little better, it's Shana Bet, so I'm not coming along as crazy. There's a guy, I don't see him here, but here he's coming back. So he told me, he sat me down one day, January, December, and he said, I just want to tell you the truth, this is the first time I heard you speak, I hated you. That was what he said. So I asked him, what did I insult his mother, did this or that? He said, no, I just hated you. This is the whole psychology behind that somebody you meet reminds you of somebody else. So obviously I created some association in his mind, a negative association with somebody he wants to know. He couldn't have hated me because he never met me, but maybe things I said, maybe the way I was acting, maybe about whatever it was, so he hated me. So nobody here can hate me because you know me and I'm too nice a guy for you to hate me, so I can speak right to this point and you know, no complaints, unless otherwise I'm not going to speak to Shana Ben until Hanukkah. In any event, so it's a world, it's an impure world, it's an impure, everybody knows that we're living in an impure, the way people speak, and the way people dress, and the way people, it's not a pure world, and the last place of purity, really, that I'm aware of, is the yeshiva. Like when you go out, even when you're in the corporate world, I mean, people tell me stories that can make your hair stand on end. But in yeshiva, there's a place of complete purity. There's no lashon hara, there's no kinah, there's no jealousy, there's no hatred. All everybody wants is just to purify their hearts. Four words, Shlomo. V'tayer libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. That's it. That's this place. The world, when we were in ninth grade, my first and last year, in high school, so we were supposed to read about utopian societies. Utopian, like these perfect societies, and we read Aldous Huxley, what was the name of his book?
Oh, yeah.
It's like when I ask a guy to shoot, yeah, what would you say in shoot today? Oh, yeah. That's my chloka somewhere. So, what? No. Another book. We read it. What?
Brave New World.
Brave New World. Excellent. Brave New World. Okay. 2 points. Bonus. So you get 100 shekel of Mariah money from that. Ask Rabina, see what he says. So you had to read that book and that. With three different utopian societies. And what's the common denominator of all utopian societies in history? They all failed. Kibbutz, they try to create a utopian society. Everyone is, they failed. There is no such thing. So yeshiva is the closest thing to it. Because this is a place, it's not about our bodies. It's not about our own success. It's, ideally, it's not about our own success. It's not about getting ahead. It's not about fulfilling physical desires. It's just about elevating ourselves, perfecting our character, getting close to God, and helping others do the same. That's what a yeshiva is supposed to be. And everybody who's been in a yeshiva for more than a few minutes knows that it's not always exactly like that. But that's what the yeshiva is trying to create. And we're trying to create good... Put it this way, not everybody who goes through a yeshiva is the best person, but the people who yeshiva creates that are the best people, there's no one like them. You can take a true Ben Torah, somebody who really personifies what the Torah is trying to convey and what Musar teaches and what Chassidus teaches. There's nobody like him on the planet. So I know a few people like that. So I know, like, so who's better? Can a Goy be better than a Jew? Of course a Goy can be better than a Jew. I know plenty of Goyim are much better people than Jews. But when you take the ideal Jew, nobody can reach that. No Goy in the world can reach the level of that person who really internalizes everything you're getting. And you're only getting it in a yeshiva because this is the only environment where it's all about that. And there's nothing else. Everybody else has other things. So, and when you're in yeshiva, that's where we talk about a mikvah. I always tell the guys about a mikvah. If you really want to get the most of yeshiva, you have to be in the mikvah. What's in the mikvah? In the mikvah is every last hair. There's one hair outside the mikvah, you're not in the mikvah. So the truth is, it's impossible. In our generation, it's impossible because nobody's really in yeshiva. Everybody has a little piece of plastic in their pocket, the size of their palm, and some people don't even have it in their pocket. Some people are holding on to it. Whenever a guy's holding on to it, he says, no, I'm just taking notes from the shir. It's not real, I'm not texting, I'm just taking notes. And you're in touch with the whole world. And even if they're not speaking to you, but you know you could be in touch with the whole world. And then there's emails, then there's... So I'm not saying you should cut off contact with your parents or with your girlfriend. You know, we have to build Klal Yisrael. I don't want you to break off the relationship. But you're not here. You're there in people's minds. They wander, and then of course they're in new spin. There's just a million things to distract you. So really, I think the biggest problem today that we have is just the countless distractions. And a person knows, you know, every second what's happening everywhere in the world. You know, oh, LeBron James just bought a beer. This boy, he's going to meet him a couple. I guess he's meeting where Pinto tonight, maybe, to ask him business advice. He's going to buy a beer. Oh, a beer! A beer. And then this guy, and everyone's following. I once read, maybe it was him, about some basketball player. 12,000 people are watching his every move. 12,000 people? No. Oh, he was in the drugstore, and probably he was buying drugs. But besides that, he chose Colgate over Crest. Like, it's a crazy world. So our job, and this is what I'm trying to do for myself as much as I can, it's very hard for me, but as much as I can to get the most out of yeshiva, I want to be 100% here. If anybody's worried about the world, don't worry about it. The world will continue to function. The earth will continue to rotate on its axis, even if you're not following, even if your face is off the book, and even if you want to be off the books. But take your faces off the books, and all the outside world, for 1 year, that doesn't mean you shouldn't play. Boys should play, you should have your games, you should... You know, jump on top of each other and try to kill each other and call it football. Play your games, but I'm saying the outside world, you know, what's going on, for example, with the Tennessee Tandits. Is there such a team? No, but if you're rich enough, you can create one. So what the Tennessee Tandits are doing, say, Lobish Vilchem, 1 year, just give it a rest if you're here till January. Try to give it a rest, and then you'll get the most out of your year. So that's really not what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to say before I spoke. Just if you want to get the most out of Shana Bet, try to be 100% here, and anybody you're in touch with from the outside world, make sure it's only people that you really need to be in touch with. Parents, close friends, but not anybody who's going to take your mind off the learning, and certainly not people who might bring up certain emotions and different hormonal reactions in the body that make it much more difficult for one to learn. That may even you. So, one of my favorite Gemaras in Shas, not that I've learned Shas, you only know a couple of pages, so it's easy to choose. It says in Menachos the following. And this is really what I was talking about. We're trying to create in yeshiva, this ideal society. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Yavo, and this was made famous because I think by Shweki? I'm not sure. Yavo Yedid. Is it Shweki?
Yeah.
It could have been Cantor. But Shweki's just older. He got there first. It's like when you thought of the Ritzvah's question. It's not your fault that he came first. You thought of it also. He just happened to have lived 300 years before. So he would have been, but Shweki just got there first. But I can see Tzvi going like this with a microphone in his hand on bookstores all over the Jewish world in Mitzvah Hashem. Yavo Yedid ben Yedid v'yivnei Yedid liYedid b'chakol shel Yedid v'yitkapu dro Yedidim. The Yedid, the son of the Yedid, will come and he will build Yedid for the Yedid in the chelik of Yedid, and the Yedidim are going to be miskaper. So what's a Yedid? A friend. A Yedid is a friend. Ata Yedid Shali, Ani Yedid Shalcha. A Yedid is a friend. So the friend will come, the son of a friend, and he'll build a friend for the friend, in the portion of the friend, and the friends will be atoned for. So this Gemara is very, what's the word?
Mesubach.
In English? What? What?
Friendly.
It's like very obscure. It doesn't tell you. It's very unclear. It's very ambiguous. It's not telling you what it wants to say. Who are all these friends? So the Gemara explains, Yavo Yedid Ze Shlomo HaMelech. And then we have a pasuk that is called Yedidya. So the Yedid Shlomo HaMelech Ben Yedid, he's the son of the Yedid. Who's that? What? Who's Shlomo's father?
David.
That's what I would have said. But the Gemara says, Avram. As it says, Maile Yedidi Bevesi. It's Avram. V'yivnei Yedid, Ze Beis HaMikdash, Ma Yedidus Mishkan Osecha. Ze Beis HaMikdash is also called Yedidus. Li Yedid, for the friend. Who's the friend? Who are we building the Beis HaMikdash for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our friend. Isn't that nice? So touching. Ashira Na Li Yedidi. It's a song, I think Rav Shaloni knows it by heart. There's a song in, I think it's from Yeshayahu, Perkei. Ashira Na Li Yedidi. So I think he had to memorize it when he was in the Yeshiva Flatbush. Really, it was. He tells people it was Chaim Berlin, because that's also Yeshiva Flatbush, but it might have also been the Yeshiva Flatbush. You can ask Rav Shaloni where it went. In any event, so he says, that was a joke. Didn't go over well. Liyadid Zakarish Barahu, Dilsiva Shirna Liyadidi. I will sing to my friend, Bechal Gol Shel Yadid. Who's Liyadid? Bechal Gol Shel Yadid. And whose chelik was the base of Mikdash built? Binyamin. Oh, you guys are Megillah. Megillah, Gorilla, for sale. You guys go watch cartoons. Bechal Gol Shel Yadid. Zeh Binyamin. Shenemar leBinyamin Amar. LeBinyamin Amar. Yedid Hashem. There's a song about that also. And Yaakov, the guard downstairs, likes to play it. And then we dance together. I love him. He's my dance partner. V'yizkaper bo Yedidim. And the Yedidim will be miskaper. Who are the Yedidim? The Jewish people. They are going to get atonement. So Revolva, this is, he has a sefer on Elul, which is the Book of the Day Club. You know, you have the book of the day that you recommend, because it's like a Shanabet thing to do, is to buy a lot of books that you're not really going to have much time to learn, and then bring them home, and be overweight. So, with your luggage, and then give it to your friends, all these different things to do. So, Revolva, so this book is called Ma'amar Yemei Ratzon. So these are the sichot that Revolva gave before the Yamim Noraim, and I like to pound the sefer at this time of year, and at all times of year. So he says that what Klal Yisrael has is an Olam of Yedidus. On Olam of Yedidus, that the world, we're trying to build a world of friendship. Everybody's friends with everybody. You have Binyamin, you have Avram, you have Shlomo, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Jewish people. We're all Yedidim. Everybody's Yedidim. We're trying to build a world of Yedidus. And that is why we all have the same father. We have the same Adam Arishon. Why? To tell us that we're all brothers. So you meet somebody down the street. What happens when you're walking down the street? And you see a man of a dark skin complexion, whose grandparents made Aliyah from Africa only 200 years before. And what did he say to you? Hey, brother. And he sometimes can you spare a dime, sometimes not. But he has, usually not. So he says to you, hey, brother. Why is he saying, hey, brother? Because he's really your brother. We're all brothers. So you walk down the street. That's why I always wonder. I have a kash, and I have a hand of kindness on anybody, because I don't drive. But I always have a tina. I always think to myself, I'm driving down the street one day, I'm going past, Mamil over there, okay? And I see at the bus stop, a guy, wearing the Haredi clothing, and he's sitting and he's waiting in the heat, in the stifling heat. I'm so glad it's so hot, because people now have something to talk about, because almost everybody here is talking about the heat. So he's got heat, and he's waiting there, and, all right? And I drive by, I look a little bit closer, and who is it? It's my brother. My brother, Brother David. That's what he dresses. He's wearing the long coat and this. Say, David! Do I stop my car? And I said, no, no. Let him stand in the heat. When I was 6 years old, he beat me up. Do I pick him up? Of course I pick him up. Oh, come on, Dave! Come in! He comes into the car. He did it. Okay. Scene two. I'm driving by, and I look at the bus stop, and I don't see my brother. I see somebody else wearing the same clothing. By the way, whoever makes black suits and white shirts must be very, very rich. Yeah, so many people are buying it. So I go. I see the guy, and I drive by. I don't stop my car. Why not? I don't know him. Never met him. So why should I stop my car? Or maybe I do know him. Why should I stop my car? Yosef Menachem Ben Yehuda Samiriam says, he's my brother. How do I know his mother's name? Brothers. We're brothers. We're all brothers. If you stop down, you're driving down the street, and you see your brother at the bus stop, you stop. So I have a kasha. I've had this kasha now for years. Years, because I spend much of my existence waiting for buses. I always ask myself, why doesn't anybody stop at the bus stop and offer somebody a ride? So I know two people like that. I knew one person personally like that. And then I was reading in a sefer once after somebody died, and they said he used to do that also. He stopped his car at a bus. I'm not saying to do this in Ramallah. I'm not saying oh, Ahmed, Mustafa, would you guys like a tramp somewhere? I said, yeah, can you take us to Saudi Arabia? Sure! Saudi Arabia. Tell me something. After you cut my head off, what are you going to do with it? So I'm not saying an Ahmed. I'm saying an Ahmed. A guy's driving by, and he sees the bus stop. There's a woman there. She's dressed as if it's the middle of winter she's wearing so much. She has seven children with, flowing pace. She's not a terrorist. And even if she is, she's not going to blow up her seven kids and kidnap them. It's very unlikely. So she's a Jewish woman. Yes. And, okay, and then you want to test her. So you go and you test her, and you say to her, Lahadlik Ner Shal, and she says, Shabbos. So you know automatically she's Jewish. Yeah. So why doesn't the guy stop for? He's got this big minivan. And he can stop, and he can give this woman a ride, and maybe get her closer to her destination, and maybe even take her all the way there. You know why? I'll tell you why people do. People aren't bad. It can't be, because I sit there, I watch hundreds, sometimes thousands of cars on a bad day, going by, and three buses that I need to stop, but they're not, because they're all full. Yes? Don't start with the two bus on Chol HaMoed. Yeah? And they're all going by. It's not because they're bad people. Jews aren't bad people. It's very simple. I don't know this person. She's not my sister. He's not my brother. It's Nias, they don't want to stop. Mercedes, your brother. He's not my brother. I never met him. I don't know. You walk down the street. Does this guy interest you? Yesterday I was walking down the street, and a guy asked me how to get to the square, how to get to the rope. So Mercedes, that's an easy one. How to get to the Kotel, how to get to the rope. If I would know Shas, like, how to explain people to get to the rope, then I would be a big Tamachal. So somebody asked me how to get. So he's got this little stick. His little shemam just looked like a chimney. I couldn't understand. The guy looked like a chimney. It was just so weird. He put this little stick in his hand, and he's blowing smoke. Isn't that silly? So he starts blowing, and I say, can you do me a favor? I'll tell you, chol asot li tova. Can you do me a favor? He said, ma, atohev lasot tovot, yeah. Taseli tova. Have rachmanis on your lungs. And I said to him, have rachmanis on your poor lungs. You're killing your lungs. So the guy said to me, no. Do you smoke? I said, no. He said, then you don't understand. You don't understand how good it is to smoke. He says, it calms you down. I said, but what are you so nervous about? What are you so nervous about? I said, you're married? He said, I'm engaged. He said, what's there to be nervous about? You're young. You're handsome. You're smart. I started saying all these things about him that might or might not have been true, but it didn't matter. I started saying, what do you need to be nervous about? He goes, no, you don't understand. Until I get my nicotine, I'm nervous. There's nothing to be nervous about other than the fact that you don't have a cigarette. So if I would only start smoking, but why would I care whether or not he smokes? Let him smoke. Let him have a good thing. You know why I care? He's my brother. I wouldn't want my brother to die of cancer. So why should I want any guy in the street to die of cancer? So the Torah wants us to live in a world of Yedidus. Because we really all are Yedidim. That's the whole Rosh Hashanah. Like the Mount by Hebishu and Melech B'Saseif Rashem Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. This is, God is only king when we're B'Yachad. Then we're all working together because we all have the same king. We all have the same father. We all have the same grandfather. We all come from a common source. But people don't have that attitude. The world is like, it's like this me against you attitude. You go into the store, he's going to try to get your money, you're going to try to get a discount. Somebody sat at my table recently. My table? I don't remember. But he said to me, it was like the guy, a graduate, one of the nicest boys we've ever had an issue. I should be more like him. So he said to me, he doesn't like when people go into stores and they bargain. Why? Because if you're bargaining, then the guy's getting less money. He's trying to make a living, so what are you lowering his price for? Like, that's such a not Jewish way of thinking about things. What do you mean? You think the guy's a price, you try to haggle with him. You try to get him down as much as possible. But he's right. Somebody's trying to earn a living, so pay the full price. Obviously, some stores, it's like that originally. Like, I remember once I was in Midtown Manhattan, and there was this camera for sale, whatever it was, some electronic item. So I said, on the price tag, it said like $450. I said, how much is that? He's like, $200. I said, so how come, he started with $200. He didn't even start with what it said on the price tag, and then you start the bargaining. They said, how come it says $450? He says, no, that's for the tourists. Says, isn't that nice? In any event, but he's your brother. So the Torah is trying to create an olam hayedidus. What's the opposite of being a friend? An enemy. What is an enemy? An enemy is... Hi, Mrs. Katz. An enemy... Mrs. Katz, sorry. An enemy is cruel. Cruel. What is the word cruel? How do you say cruel in Hebrew? Achzarius. What is achzarius? Achzar. What is ach? Only? Achzarius is spelled with a chaf, not with a chet. So ach with a chet is a brother, and ach with a chaf is only. Like ach bayom. So, what's zar? Strange. What is the source of all cruelty in this world? Strangeness. If this person is a stranger, you can be cruel. If you feel strange to this person, I mean, you don't identify with the person, because if you would identify with the person, then you couldn't hurt him. Because if you identify with the person, you hurt him. Who are you hurting? Yourself. If this person is strange, and I don't know this person, and I don't have anything to do with this person, do I care? You open up the newspaper, and what do you see? You see that a woman killed her husband, her four children, and then committed suicide. What do you do next? Go to the sports pages. You go to the sports pages. Does it ruin your day? No. Because if it would ruin your day, you wouldn't read the newspaper. And you read the newspaper. And it's in the newspaper every day. Every day something like that happens. I don't know, I read the newspaper. But I haven't read one in the longest time. The other day, I just happened to have been sitting on a bus, and there just happened to have been a guy reading a newspaper, and I just happened to have peeked over his shoulder, and it just happens to be a guy killed his own children, and then himself. I was like, oh, now I remember why I don't read newspapers. Terrible. It would ruin your day. How can you go through the day, imagine Hashom, in your own family. How'd you feel? It wouldn't ruin your day, it would ruin your life. Not your day, your life. It doesn't ruin our life. Nothing reading the newspaper ruins our life. Otherwise, again, we wouldn't read the newspaper. Why would you pay 50 cents to have your life ruined? That's so silly. Like Rav Nemitzal writes in one of his sermons about cigarettes. He said, why would you pay somebody money to slowly commit suicide? That's so silly. And yet people do it. But that's another issue. So why can you read the newspaper? And why do people look for newspapers? There's long lineups. There was one when I get to the airport. I see there's so many interesting books. They have Revolt on Elul. They have, Sichos B'Avodas Hashem. They have, who's the rabbi everyone likes? Shemaya, but there's one, Bilvavi. All the Bilvavi Svarim. Like, why would you want to read about, like, you know, who, you know, which non-Jewish daughter of a former president is marrying a Jewish guy? Why would you want to read about that silly nonsense when you can read about how to get close to Hashem, how to be besimcha, what the purpose of your life is, how to improve your midos. Everybody's going after the newspapers. They're not going after the bilvavis. They're not going after the Chedushei Reb Chaim Halevi al Rambam. I find the Chedushei Reb Chaim Halevi al Rambam a lot more interesting, compelling, and stimulating than anything I've ever read in a newspaper in my life. Why are people going after newspapers? You know why? Strange. They're estranged from everybody they're reading about. And therefore you can read the newspaper, and you can go on with your day, and you can have a good day. I'm saying newspaper is what they call daf yomi. That's the daf that people read every morning, you know, over breakfast, and then they start their day. They start the day with the newspaper. I never met anybody who doesn't, you know, get a daily newspaper. Some people get three newspapers, four newspapers, five newspapers. Fortunately, in Israel, it's firmer. Like the major newspaper, it's called Ma'ariv. So to get Ma'ariv every day, it's good to have Ma'ariv. And then when they add on the addition to the newspaper on the weekends, they call it the Musaf. Right? So they have Musaf, you have Meyer. They just don't have a newspaper called Shacharis. All they need is Shacharis, and then we're set. We have all. Why would somebody want to read it? Everybody gets it. Everybody reads it. Why? Because they're estranged from the people they're reading about. So you can read the newspaper, and you can say, this man was sexually abusing his daughter for 7 years. It's in the newspaper. There's stories like that all the time. How do you continue eating? And second of all, how do you go through the day? There was somebody who spent the last 7 years being abused by her father. How do you get through the day? And let's say, Chalila, it was in your family. It's over. You'd spend the rest of your life, there'd be scars, there'd be pain, there'd be suffering, there'd be therapy, there'd be tefillahs, there'd be... Everything that goes along with suffering. And yet people go for it every day. You know why? Because they're estranged. Because it's not them. And frankly, it's interesting. Because their own lives are boring. You know, it's the same old thing. So you want to find out, oh, what interesting things happen in the world? And what happens if something really interesting happens? You know, it's a bomb or something, or some, you know, exciting terrorist attack. That sells a lot more newspapers. Then everybody wants to read about it more. Why? Because they're estranged. People are estranged. You hear somebody died. You find out who it is. Do I know that person? No? Okay. If you know the person, you feel a little worse. If you know somebody knew the person, you all of a sudden feel it's not so good. And then Hashem was in your family again. Then you feel rotten because from your family you're not estranged. And let's say something happened to you, then you really feel it because that's you. The Olam HaYedidus is trying to create a world where everybody is. That's what Yedid is. You have two hands. You have Yad Yamin, Yad Smol. So Yedid is Yad Yad. So Chazal say that you should push away with your left and put forward, bring close with your right. Yad Smol Doche, Yamin Mekaretz. So if you have Yad Yad, then you're Mekaretz with both your hands. With your right hand, you're Mekaretz. With your left hand, you're Mekaretz. You're bringing this person close to you. That's the idea of Yedid. Yedid is that you're completely enwrapped with this person, completely connected to this person, and you're not an achzar. You're not estranged from this person. Cruelty and estrangement in Hebrew is the same word, because that's what cruelty is. Cruelty is you feel strange, and therefore you can continue on as if nothing happened, and you can, you know, read the end. And let's say they wouldn't report that in the newspaper. Let's say the newspaper, one day you buy the newspaper, and they say, today, Jim Wilson went to the store. He took out his revolver, he cleaned it, he put it back in the holster, he bought two cartons of milk, he came home, and he gave his family breakfast. Would you buy that newspaper again? I mean, nothing happened. You know, nobody was killed. There was no blood. There was no Gilei Arayos. There's no Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, or Shfichus Damim. So what sort of newspaper is it? There has to be. The more Gilei Arayos, I'm saying that, and that's how they sell papers. The whole press is based on that. And all the movies are based... What's a movie? A movie's the same thing. There's always something that's going to happen in the movie that's horrible. Otherwise, you're not going to the movie. I'm saying most movies. There's going to be something. There's going to be death. There's going to be violence. There's going to be abuse. There's going to be emotional abuse, physical abuse. There has to be something. It can't just be everybody's a goody-goody. Imagine a movie of Reb Nemitzel's life. You know, they walk around with a video camera. You know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and his alarm goes off. And he goes and he washes Nagelvasser. Yeah, and he quickly wraps himself in his talis cotton. And he says, you know, Bogil Tov Shifla. You know, in the movies I saw growing up, at this point you take out your gun and you shoot your wife, right? That's how it gets in the movies. He says, no. He says Bogil Tov to his wife. And he goes off and he learns, you know, 25 daven before Shachris. He learns his 25 daven before Shachris, and then he walks to shul. He walks to shul, he comes and he sits down, he's there 15 minutes early, and he prepares for davening, he learns a little bit, and he says slowly every single word of davening, and then he just goes on with his day. You know, he learns a little bit more, and he goes home, has a little, drinks a little, eats a little bit of those coffee powder, you know, to give him a little bit of a push. He's very tired, and then he learns a little bit more, and he learns a little bit more. People ask him a few shilas, and then he sits, somebody tells him something funny, and he laughs. Yeah, and he says, it's Vartara, Chiddush, da-da-da, and then he goes to sleep. Nobody's writing about that. Nobody's interested in that. Nobody's interested in good. They're interested in something like... So the world is built on people enjoying other people's suffering, and because they feel strange, and that's what the Torah calls Achzarias. That's Mamashel says. When you read about it, you have to feel it. And when something happens to your friend, you have to feel it. Otherwise, it's not me. It's not... He has a learning disability. I don't have one. It's not my problem. It's his problem. That's Achzarius. His problem is Achzarius. I always wonder, like, about guys in yeshiva. A guy will come up and, you know, he's thinking about an issue of his. This bothers, it's gewaldic. You shouldn't ignore yourself. Some people are Achzarim to themselves. That's the worst. Think about it. But what about the other guy? But the other guy, like, since I talk on the phone, I speak to people on the phone, and you just see the tsaras people are having. It's everywhere. It's either with money, or it's with health, or it's with family issues, or it's with, you know, learning issues, or it's with, you know, tragedies that happen, or it's, you know, people slowly dying. I mean, who doesn't have in their family? Either the people are already dead or they're slowly dying. I'm saying that everyone always goes in one direction. Everyone's got stuff. And yet we walk around, you know, either focused on ourselves and our own issues, or not even that, even avoiding that. And that's like, it's like, sorry, it's a, you're neshama. You're neshama. When a person is not keeping Torah and mitzvahs, so that's achzaris, it's neshama. Why? Because he's estranged from his neshama. That's my neshama's fine. I remember when I was in Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, Shana Gimel, Shana. Who remembers? But one of those early Shanas, I remember one of my rabbis, it made a big impression. I was a little boy, cute. So the little boy, he said, chubby cheeks, little blonde hair, cute. So he says to me, I was learning. He says, your neshama is flying. Your neshama is rejoicing now when you're learning Torah. And I was like, a revelation. Who's my neshama? I never thought about my neshama. I just thought about my guf. So it's a Sunday afternoon. And I have six that didn't happen to anybody over the summer. Over the summer, everybody took advantage of all their time. But I'm saying not from this yeshiva, from a different yeshiva, not from Reishit either. From none of the other yeshivas. Not a yeshiva, yeshivas that don't exist anymore. A guy sitting in the summer, and it's a Sunday afternoon, and he plops himself in front of the television at 11 o'clock in the morning. He watches all the pregame shows. He watches all the games. He watches all the postgame shows. Yes, and then at 11 o'clock, he watches all the highlights, and then a ding, and a little of this, and he watches a little movie, DVD, and then at 1, 2 in the morning, he goes to sleep. It's achzarius. Well, who's he being anachzar to? His neshama. He's completely estranged from his neshama. He spent the whole day growing his neshama. So this idea of yedidus, you have to be friends with everybody else, and you have to be friends with your neshama, because your neshama is part of you, but we don't feel that. You feel, a lot of people, you guys do. I'm saying, to feel. So, the truth is, I wanted to say what Revolver says, but I always get off track. So, what point am I trying to make? What I'm trying to make is that you guys have a very big job. Your job is to be, listen to this new title. I'm giving everybody the title, I'm conferring smicha upon you. You ready for this title? Harav Harashi Lashana Aleph. Okay, everybody in this room has a new title, Harav Harashi Lashana Aleph. If you want, you can even go get t-shirts, and you can get a special hat, you can wear a long coat if you want. It's easy to get a long coat, by the way. I was so impressed, the guy with a long coat walks in as if he's such a big Talmid Chacham. All you need for a long coat is like $50. I'm saying it's not really, it doesn't mean necessarily, some people happen to be Talmid Chacham, but it doesn't mean, I can buy one. I'm saying it wouldn't mean anything about me. So, what's the point I'm trying to do? You're the Rav Rashi. All Shana, they're looking at you. They're looking at you as their guide, as them. They're not looking at me. They're not looking at me. Why? You ever see the movies? A famous movie in the 70s. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Who's about a man? You saw it? Crazy. I'm that guy. I'm crazy. I'm a mental patient. Look at me. Look at the way I talk. Look at the way I dress. Look at the way I act. All that interests me is Gemara. I said to my wife, it's like, why'd you marry me? I have no personality. I'm boring. All I want to do is learn all day. So you're interested in the existential question asks. Like, you're not so interested in that stuff. I'm a boring guy. Not only am I boring, but I'm nuts. I'm nuts. I'm crazy. I'm off the rack. The Seder. So, but you guys, you're cool. Everyone in this room, you're young, you're handsome, you're athletic, you're popular, you're cool. Every guy in this room is cool. They're looking at you, not at me. I wouldn't mind, I'll give you a few bucks under the table, if you say to them, go talk to the Rimi guy. He's really, he's okay. We get to know him. We have to get to know him really, really well. Deep downside, he's really, there is somewhat level of normalcy. As long as he's on his meds, everything is fine with him. Sometimes he can be a little bit, you know. But Ermin's okay. You can say that about me. You can say that about the other Rabbein. That guy shouldn't be scared off. But you're the Rav Rashi. In order to be that way, you need to build an Olam HaYedidus. That you guys are not here, as Shana Bet guys have told me in past years, you're not sitting in shir and counting how many times other guys raise their hand. Or how many times, you know, they hazard, and who's in the base medrash when, and all this looking around. You're not doing that stuff. Because that is an olam of achzarius. He's a stranger to you, you're a stranger to him, and then it becomes a competition. There's no competition in Torah. It says that when Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any tachlus. No more competition. So we're trying to build here a mini Yamosa Mashiach. No competition. You're just here to make the best of yourself, and also to help your friends make the best of themselves. That's your job. And you should know that it's such a big job that other people, they're going to be following you based on what you do and what you say and the way you act. You're going to be setting the tone for the future. And a guy once told me that I lost it. In the summer, I was 22. And then after the summer, that summer I got married. I was in Shana, whatever. And then I got married that summer. And that summer I went from being Ali to being Reverend. I didn't get smicha, I didn't do anything. I didn't even have a beard. I couldn't even shave. I just this little peach fuzz faced kid. And all of a sudden, why did they confer upon me smicha as if I'm an important rabbi? Just because I got married and I was older and I was out of the dorm. And that was it from that point on. That was 16 years ago. And I don't know if anybody has listened to a word of me since. Why? Because I'm over the hill. So you should just know, Rabbeinu have a very limited impact on the boys to a certain extent. Some Rabbeinu do. I'm not as successful as the other Rabbeinu. But to a certain extent. But you guys, you have the biggest impact. They're looking to you, and they're going to listen to you, and they're going to follow you, and they think you know it all. And you can be honest with them and tell them you don't necessarily know it all. Unless you do, then you can tell them that you do. But you don't necessarily know it all. But you should know that you're setting the tone. The most important thing in order to achieve that is to build a world of Yedidus, which means that every Shana Aleph guy is your friend. Whether he comes from your town, he doesn't come from your he's your friend, and you care about him. And every Shana Bet guy is your friend, and every Shana Gimel guy is your friend. I mean, where are you holding? Hey, Vav, Zion, do they have letters for you anymore? So, whatever year you are, you're here to be a Yedid. And you're a Yedid of the Rabbeim, and it says to be a Yedid of Hashem. You're a Yedid of Hashem, so about you, you're a Yedid of every guy in the street. And excuse me, you're a Yedid of every guy in China. You're a Yedid. But right now that you're in this yeshiva, the goal is to become a Yedid of every other guy in this yeshiva. Every other guy. And that's the example you want to set. And then that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants. Nobody cares how many daf of Gemara you learn. Nobody cares about how firm you are. And you have tcheles and you don't have tcheles. And you go to mikveh, you don't go to mikveh. All these things people aren't interested in. People want this yeshiva. Every guy wants this yeshiva to be a yeshiva of Yedidus. That people care about each other, and it's very hurtful when it's not. It's hurtful when you don't feel it from the rabbi. It's hurtful when you don't feel it from your friends, and when it's hurtful when there's competition, and the people are out to get you, it's hurtful. It hurts me also. It's, this competition, all the people are looking at each other, and what's he doing, and what's he saying, and nobody wants that. So if you don't want it, so then create your own world. We're creating the world of Yedidus. That's Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is the world of Yedidus. Yavo Yedid, Ben Yedid, V'yivnei Yedid, V'yedidim. Like the Gemara says, that's our goal. So it's Hashem. We should all be zelcha to build that world, and I want to be your friend, so I'm putting out my yad, and you'll put out your yad, we'll have a yad yad yadid, and Amir Tashem, we will be zelcha. And I've been waiting for this moment, for it was only 2 months, but it seems like 2 million years, to say, 2, 3, 4, Thanks for listening.